welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast here on the Unscripted Everything Network. I am your host, Daniel Hummer, and I'm here with my co-hosts and good friends, my brother Doug.
Yo.
Our good friend Eric.
What's up?
Always reliable and knowledgeable Quinnis.
Hi. How you doing?
Pretty good. And Stevie's here.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How's everyone doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Very good.
Pretty good.
Good.
We will be doing WrestleMania 10 tonight, and I'm excited to get into that. We have a lot of analysis to bring everybody, a lot of good content. But we're kind of changing up the format a little bit. People have been liking the modern stuff that we've been talking about, a little bit of the current product. So we're going to do that first, and I'm going to throw it to Dougie with This Week in Wrestling's News.
All right. With this week's Unscripted Wrestling News Report, I am your anchor, Baldy Flat Scout. All right. So a lot of things happened this week. As a matter of fact, a lot of stuff broke today.
Yeah.
All right. But the number one, basically our top news story here is the next inductee into this year's Hall of Fame class. Now, we talked about it last week as to who we thought would go in. Obviously, Daniel didn't talk about it. He wasn't here. But none of us, I don't think, saw this coming. Or at least nobody fucking said it. But Eric Bischoff is the next inductee into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The news was broken yesterday. So he will join Molly Holly in the 2021 Hall of Fame class.
Just a hand.
Can I give my thoughts on it?
Go ahead.
I am perfectly fine with this.
Yeah.
I think this is awesome, and I think it makes a lot of sense. He's a Hall of Fame worthy person. He built up the competition that they're still – first of all, they still make money talking about the Monday Night Wars. They made a shitload of money off that. And not only that, Bischoff was a great performer, and people take that away from him. But his heel run, especially in the WWF as the GM, he was a really good bad guy.
Yeah.
So he's one of the best general managers that there's been, and he was a really good as a heel in that role. And for every – they've given a lot of Hall of Fame spots to a lot of different people that maybe you think, I don't know if they deserve it. I think Eric Bischoff has contributed a lot to the business and deserves to have that.
I agree.
He probably does.
He has a podcast.
Well, let's put it this way. Bischoff was made to be a heel. I think I never saw you. I could see or heard of Bischoff as even being a face when he was on commentary or Nitro. Prepared to do y'all was to lead, join New World Order to even being he was the longest reigning GM of all ever had, to tell you the truth.
Right.
When Bischoff was announced as a Raw GM, SmackDown went through Stephanie, Paul Heyman, Teddy Long, Booker T. I mean, he was a...
Don't forget Kurt Angle.
He held it. Yeah, and well, Kurt Angle too.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing about it is Bischoff has tenure.
He's been a part of a lot of good moments too.
Yeah,
I mean,
and he's basically been in the wrestling business, and also on the business side of the wrestling business since 1987.
Yeah, commenting for the AWA, Virginia.
Right. Well, he started there in sales because he didn't want to be on TV. Like, he liked being a salesman. And, but no, I mean, I'm happy about it. But nobody saw this coming. Or at least none of us did because none of us spoke the words Eric Bischoff last week.
No, I don't think anyone ever thought this would happen. I'm so shocked. But I think it's cool and deserved. Is Paul Heyman in the Hall?
Not yet.
Okay.
I mean, he's going to be, he's going to be someday, but I think it just, nobody saw this coming because of the stuff Bischoff had been doing with AEW lately.
Yeah, and he just got a job there and got fired. not too long ago.
Right. So nobody saw this coming.
Yeah.
Speaking of stuff that nobody really saw coming, although, I mean, the writing is kind of on the wall. It was reported earlier today that Charlie Caruso, who was Raw's backstage interviewer, hosted the pay-per-view pre-shows, or the pay-per-view kickoff show panels, and also host of Raw Talk on the WWE Network, has been off TV for several weeks, and she ain't coming back. She is still under contract, but when her contract expires, she is done. And the reason why is because she's got some heat with some people. She constantly shows up late to interviews.
Allegedly, by the way.
I mean, this is what people have said. Apparently, there's some heat between herself and Randy Orton and herself and Sheamus.
Which, probably two bad guys to have heat with.
Especially Orton.
Yeah.
That woman that had heat with Randy Orton had to buy a new purse.
Well, yeah, he pooped in one chick's handbag.
Yeah.
But that's a real story. But not even just, I mean, Randy Orton's, like, one of the most loved people by that company. They love Randy Orton. And Sheamus is Triple H's best friend.
Right.
So, yeah, well, why have heat with those two guys?
I don't know. There was some kind of incident. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I mean, first of all, when you work on a show a lot of time with Stephen A. Smith on ESPN, you're going to have a lot of heat.
Yep.
Personally, I actually think this whole thing might be actually, I mean, I don't know. I'm just speculating. But who knows? This might actually be Stephen A. Smith's fault.
How?
She constantly shows up late to interviews. How do we know he's not texting her, telling her stuff that she needs to know for, like, the next day? Because she does his show.
That's stupid.
So is Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith doesn't show up late to work. That is on her. You can't work and do your job, and you don't deserve to have the job.
He probably doesn't even want her on WWE anymore. He probably wants her to...
Why? Why would he say that? This is speculation. This is not news.
I just said it's speculation.
Charlie Caruso, I mean, I enjoy her. I mean, she's okay. She's good in
her
role.
The only good thing about her is that she's hot. Okay? Kayla Braxton, at least, you know, is a decent interviewer. Charlie's just...
out there.
Just nice to look at. She really adds nothing.
Well, don't forget her famous DP rant. She bomb she dropped on referring to Damian Priest. she's a big fan of. Yes. Yeah, so you didn't hear about this. So I guess that's part of the reason, another reason why too. On Raw Talk, I think she was referring to Damian Priest, and she loves how she says she loves DP, meaning Damian Priest. Well, if you don't,
that's amazing. Well,
she never said Damian Priest.
Everybody
she said
for now,
yeah, double pudding,
double something. Anyway, before we get too far,
what else we got?
All right, another piece of business. So they have announced this year's guest host for the two-night WrestleMania. There's going to be two guest hosts.
What?
Hulk Hogan and Titus O'Neil.
Really?
Yeah. And the thing about it is they don't get along.
They don't?
No, when Hogan came back in, what was it, 2018, 2019, whatever. When he came back. When he came back and apologized, because he had to apologize to a lot of the boys in the locker room. He came in, apologized, and went to shake everybody's hand. Titus basically, I mean, I'm kind of surmising the words, but Titus basically said, take that hand and shove it up your ass.
Really?
Yeah, Titus, I'm not accepting your apology. So
my,
oh, do you blame him?
No,
not whatsoever. Hulk Hogan's a piece of shit in my head. So, especially, not only just that, but for that was bad.
He shouldn't have done it.
Yep.
First of all, of course
he shouldn't have done it.
Well, first of all, if you're being filmed, anyway. Well, first of all, when you're talking, make sure there's no camera around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's what bothers me too, though. He didn't know there was a camera around, so that what tells you that's how he talks. That's just how he is with his friends, probably. And that's not okay. I don't really have a tolerance for that. And I mean, so the people are forgiving him. Good for him, but.
Oh, well, thank God there's not a camera around here 24/7. You know, that's trouble I'd be in.
Not that kind of trouble. You don't have that type of personality that Hulk has. But as far as the sing together, I mean, it'll be funny.
I don't know how they got Titus to do it.
No.
Except for they probably offered him camera time. I mean, he really doesn't get a lot of camera time nowadays.
Yeah, being a host or ref for a mid-card guy, holy shit.
Yeah. Also, I think this will be the last piece of business because I can't remember everything that I knew we were going to talk about. So they had to rewrite a lot of NXT this past week due to a outbreak at the Performance Center or the CWC. Right now, the following people are in quarantine. Or they were at least in quarantine and were not able to be part of the show. Pete Dunne, Timothy Thatcher, Leon Ruff, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Candice LeRae, Johnny Gargano, one of the referees, Alexander Wolf, and by the way, the guy that runs the show, a guy by the name of Triple H. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him.
A little bit of the fact.
Yeah.
They're all in quarantine.
Oh, wow.
So.
Even Stephanie?
Her name didn't come up. But the list I read said that he was in quarantine. Now, nobody's saying anything else but that. They're kind of keeping it secret. And they kind of have to.
Yeah.
But,
PR reasons.
Yeah. So. We'll see. Also, last piece of business here. And we brought it up last week. WWE Network is now officially on Peacock. Haven't really heard good things about it yet, although I've only talked to one person, and that's our very own Clintus.
Yeah. So I want to put it this way. I think it's the worst thing when it started out with when it first aired on the network first came out. Right now, if you go on there, you have up to not a lot of Raw. You have the Fox season only of SmackDown. Like from the
wow.
Fox first debut from SmackDown on to like 30 days from now, that's the SmackDown you have on there. Monday Night Raw, you have this the current episode of NXT that just aired, like the Best of Stone Cold, Not much is really on there. You will think it's transition.
I thought the pay-per-views.
Like, well, see, and not all the pay-per-views are on there either. When it first came out, you just had a couple, like, a random WrestleMania. The Elimination Chamber, this past Elimination Chamber is on there. Now you have, like, all the Elimination Chambers. You had pay-per-view from 2000,
2010, but it marked down in seasons, which I don't really like. It's hard to find. You have to figure out what season it is. It's not going. It don't go by dates. It goes by NBC, which goes has everything listed as seasons. It's really hard to navigate.
I think they have all the WrestleMania.
Not yet. They don't have no WrestleMania on there.
No, I saw WrestleMania.
Remember, it just started yesterday. So, unfortunately, we have to give it time. Now, anybody, again, the network technically is still available until April 4th. That's when it goes away.
Okay, so here's another thing, too. I also had an email They're saying it's available to April 4th. But if your membership expires, if Villasenio ends in, like, in the next couple of days or so, it ends, and you won't get rebuilt, meaning you have no access to it to April 4th. Then you're stuck with Peacock.
Damn.
I think my billing cycle is done on April 3rd.
And then I think, I got emails saying, my email said, once my subscription, though, I won't have access to it, and I'm going to be like, AC suggested to go down to Peacock, which Peacock is throwing a special. If you sign up now, you get the first 4 months for half off, $2.50 each.
But I heard they're also, WWE Network's also issuing out refunds.
Okay, I also hear, they're also saying, I guess, if there's way past, say, if your billing cycle was in the middle, I guess, the 15th or so, and you're not going to be able to make the next billing, so it's just like next month, they're going to give you a partial refund, meaning you're going to charge you for to the April 4th deadline and then give you like $5. I'll refund you a $5. You should see.
I mean, I think it's only $9.99.
So.
Unfortunately, I mean, I'm pissed off just because of the fact that a lot of the stuff that I had planned for this show, well, not this particular episode, but a lot of episodes I had planned for the show might not get to happen if we can't get this stuff on Peacock. But, I mean, we'll just have to make do. I mean, this stuff will get added eventually. Remember, they have to add over, 30,000 hours worth of content?
Yep.
Yeah.
Or maybe they even more than that?
Probably.
Yeah, I'll
probably add more every day.
I hope so, because I'm, like, in the middle of this, like, Vince watching, like, in the middle of the CM Punk comeback, second comeback, till Payback in 2013.
Okay.
So, and then I was like, I want to
You have a week left?
I guess. Yeah, I have a week left, but I'm like, I'll probably watch Payback and say, you know what, I want to wait till it gets to Peacock and then continue my Vince watching from there.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, put what kind of porn on your phone and let's get into WrestleMania 10.
Okay, but I do have something to add, guys, before we get to the whole WrestleMania 10. I'm not sure if you guys heard about the whole title-for-title match happening at Impact Wrestling next month at Rebellion between Kane Omega and Rich Swann.
Yeah.
So, there has been rumors behind stage saying that Impact Wrestling is having trouble with Tony Khan, meaning because I think it's for title for title, they're advertising it as, meaning Kenny Omega is supposed to win and beat Rich Swann and become Impact Champion. Problem is that they say Tony Khan is fine as long as Kenny keeps winning. Meaning they want Kenny Omega to show up there and like it. Constant Impact Wrestling defending like the Impact title. He cannot lose a title until he loses the AEW championship first, which is at a crossroads right now. I mean, there's no plans for after Rebellion because he can't figure out what to do with King Omega after
this so-called match.
Yeah, that is a dilemma.
Well, let Impact and AEW figure it out. That whole deal.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
That's one of another big news out of another company, but yeah.
Aren't we supposed to name our wrestler of the week?
Yes. You have one, Eric.
Yes, I have two. It's Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa.
So you checked out that match?
Yep, I watched it last night. That was amazing. I've never seen a women's match like that before in a while, if ever.
Yeah, I saw a few clips. It was brutal.
Yeah, I saw the clip of it just a little bit ago.
They went at it. They really put their bodies on the line. Like, hardcore.
Rumor have it that they said that match was planned. Tony Khan playing that match 6 months ago. So it was like a 6 months build-up to that match.
It's a good build-up, too. I don't know if the right one won, but it is what it is.
Oh,
let's put it this way.
The big note did take a fall.
It was time for Thunder Rosa to win.
Let's put it this way. As bad as AEW's women division is, for them to put on a show like that says something. Because, tell you the truth, the AEW women's division is really headlined by Nyla Rose, and then you have and the women's champion is hardly on television. It's mainly just Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, and then you have some small cameos from Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero and everything else. It's not.
Yeah.
And they have great wet women on there. They just don't use them to their potential.
Yeah, because I like Sheeta a lot.
I want to see Sheeta and Britt Baker or Thunder Rosa.
All right, who's your wrestler of the week, Doug?
My wrestler of the week?
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley. I mean, he's been on an absolute roll. He's going to face Drew McIntyre for the title at WrestleMania. They're finally, like, he's finally getting that push.
Yeah.
That he should have gotten a long time ago. So he's finally up at the top.
Oh, I agree. I'm going Alexa Bliss for mine. She's been on fire lately, and I like the stuff she's doing with Randy.
I can't believe that's going to be a match on Sunday.
I think she's going to win.
Oh, my gosh. No,
Finn's going to show up,
typical
and she's going to get a pinfall.
She's going to get a pinfall because she's going to use a stupid mind game of the Fiend returning, or either the Fiend will return, and going to distract Randy Orton and bam. It's going to be something stupid like that, and it's going to make
I agree. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
Your wrestler of the week, Cletus.
Well, I'm going to go to, I want to say it's going to be Britt Baker and then Bobby Lashley. I did see that match, full gear. It was an awesome match. And then Bobby Lashley, the way, this is long overdue for him, let's put it that way. And I'll say this, you even, not only for Bobby Lashley, but even last year when he came to Kofi Kingston.
For sure.
Great main event players for getting their pushes, these great pushes, too late in their career.
I agree. Stevie, you got a wrestler of the week? Stevie?
Stevie?
I think he accidentally hung up.
All right. then we'll move on. Let's get into WrestleMania 10, guys. Ooh. Hopefully Stevie will join us back soon.
He's probably texting me right now asking what happened, and my phone's upstairs.
All right, WrestleMania 10. This is why we all came here today. Let's get into it. March 20th, 1994 is when this pay-per-view aired. Here's Stevie. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, I'm here. I guess I got cut off or something.
Yeah, something must have happened. All right.
Sorry.
Did you have a wrestler for the week that you wanted to say?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I would have to say Bobby Lashley. I think it was – he deserved the title. I mean, it took him a long time to get it, but it's well-deserved.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all agree.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's get into WrestleMania 10. We're at the Madison Square Garden here in New York, New York. At the gate, we got 18,065 people in attendance. Buy rate is $420,000. So this was kind of – this is new generation, right, Doug?
Yeah, pretty much.
Business is kind of slow. It's not awful, but it's getting pretty slow, and they're in that kind of dull period right now. Post Hogan, post Golden 80s era.
Yeah, pretty much.
And give a little background behind this pay-per-view, Doug.
Okay, so
this was supposed to turn out very different.
There was a lot that was supposed to happen that didn't happen. Basically, the WWF title match was supposed to be, believe it or not, Ludwig Borga defending the title against Lex Luger. So going back to the Royal Rumble 1994, which, by the way, the 27th anniversary of this pay-per-view is tomorrow, which is why we're doing this. All right, so back at the Royal Rumble, The Undertaker took on Yokozuna in a casket match, and Yokozuna defended the WWF title. Undertaker was having back problems. Yokozuna was fat. The WWF told Yoko, we want you to take time off to go lose some weight. Because you need to. Undertaker wanted to take time off to heal his back. So Undertaker was going to win the title. So Yoko could go to fat camp. And then Undertaker was actually going to drop it a month later in February to Borga. Borga was going to defend the title against Lex Luger at WrestleMania because Luger was going to win the Rumble. So about a week before the Royal Rumble, they had to show up at Madison Square Garden, and things kind of got fucked up. As in, Ludwig Borga broke his ankle in a match with Rick Steiner. So they get to Royal Rumble. Undertaker can barely move. His back is fucking killing him.
Yeah.
He's like, because now they don't have anybody for him to drop the title to. Right? Because they were going to do Borga, and Borga's hurt. Yokozuna basically told him, I'm okay with being fat, so you have to be too. He goes, I'm not going fat. Like, it ain't happening.
He would go like a year later, right? Or a couple years later?
They forced him to take time off later that year from November to about April of 95 because he came back at WrestleMania. Problem is, he didn't lose any weight. He stayed home and he ate the whole time. Then when they finally forced him to fat camp, he had somebody sneak him fried chicken. So it wasn't.
Yeah, they said that in a documentary.
So he didn't want to lose weight. He was comfortable in his own skin. I mean, a lot of it was excess skin, but he was comfortable in his own skin. So Undertaker could not. Undertaker basically he couldn't. He couldn't go, so they had nobody to drop the title. So anyway, so And then they came up with the idea, because Vince was starting to see, like, Vince was falling out of love with Luger. Because the original plan had always been Brett versus Owen. And that was going to be it for Brett for that show. But
yeah,
that,
well, Lex was the next Hogan, pretty much, right? Or he was supposed to be.
He was supposed to be the next Hogan. It wasn't working. So Vince is just like, you know what, we'll have two winners. And then Yoko will face Lex, and we'll do something there. And then Yoko will face Brett, and Brett will win the title. Because we can count on Brett. Because Vince pretty much thought he was going to go to jail later that summer anyway. Or later that year. Because of the steroid trial. So, basically that was supposed to happen surrounding the WWF title. There was supposed to be, obviously, there was supposed to be a 10-man tag on that show. Didn't happen because Shawn and Razor didn't want to end the ladder match. And, you know, we can get into that later.
Oh, we will.
Because, I mean, to me, that actually took away a lot of the match for me.
I want to save that for the
match. Yeah.
Because I know you got it. All right, let's start with the card then. You ready?
Yeah.
So, the Heavenly Bodies, Tom Pritchard and Jimmy Del Rey, in the dark match with Corny, defeat the Bushwhackers, Luke and Butch. Not much to go on here because we didn't get to see it. Both of these teams were obviously pretty much done by this time, right, Doug?
No, the Bodies were, like, one of the hottest teams in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. No, but they were basically used as a jobber team in the WWF, but they were still, like, they were still there. They would be around for at least another year. Actually, so with the Bushwhackers. The Bushwhackers were technically around till 96.
Really?
Yeah. The reason why is because Vince knew we could count on him. Vince needed somebody to keep the kids because they could do all the appearances for the kids.
I don't remember seeing them in the 95.
They were in the 95 Rumble. They could do all the public appearances and shit. As a matter of fact, it was actually later on, I believe in this year, that they were part of, that they were on Family Matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they wanted wrestlers for the show, and Vince said, well, fuck, we're not really doing anything with Luke and Butch, but they're still here. Take them.
Yeah. That's what we got. But the real opener and my favorite match on the card, Owen Hart beats Bret Hart, 20-minute match. Obviously, there's a huge feud going up to this. It started at the Rumble, right?
You can even say
that's the Rumble.
Series 93.
Before the, yeah, it's the thing it started what at Survivor Series in 93.
Was the actual turn at the Rumble though?
The actual turn was at the Rumble.
But the turn was at the Rumble.
It started
showing its cracks or foundation at Survivor Series in 93. Or the Hart Foundation fought like Michaels and the Knights, and knowing that Owen Hart was the only Hart member eliminated, and Bret Hart took the fall, outshowing Owen at the time.
Now, Clinith, I actually want to ask you this about Bret Hart, because you like Bret Hart, right?
Yeah, I like Bret Hart.
Now, 94 here is not the best time for the business. They're not doing as great as they always have. I mean, it starts to slump more in 95, 96, but the cracks are showing here. People don't really like the cartoony content as much. Bret Hart is the new face of the company. Hogan leaves in 93. This is actually the first WrestleMania without Hogan.
Yeah.
Now, Bret for not being that big of a draw, do you think that it is his fault or he deserves some responsibility for them not doing well during this time? Or do you think it was more than just Bret Hart?
I think it was just more against Bret Hart because, as you notice, also after WrestleMania, Macho Man was doing commentary on Monday Night Raw. And he showed up and he announced that he left contract expires and he shows up in WCW. A lot of Lex Luger, his famous WCW appearance, he left right after. So everybody was slowly like leaving the company, and WCW was taking off with these old guys still in the prime, to remind you, making runs in WCW. So I think it was the start of with 94, which is not a bad year because everybody was just opting out and then rebuilding the wrestling business in WCWI.
Yeah. What do you think, Doug? Do you think that if they had a different guy or someone else at the helm that they could have done something, or that was just kind of given a bad hand? Be in the face.
Well, he was given a bad hand because a lot of the guys that they had kind of counted, you got to look at, and I'm kind of glossing over WrestleMania 9 here, because WrestleMania 9 was kind of like, it sucked. Yeah. But if you look at, like, who was at WrestleMania 8, you had Shawn Michaels, Tito Santana in a match. All right, and here by 94, Tito was gone. And Tito had been a regular of the company since 83. Okay, Jake Roberts and The Undertaker was the second match at WrestleMania 8. Jake had been there since 86. He's gone. Roddy Piper, Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, he left. Then there was, Nasty Boys, Repo Man, Mountie, Boss Man, Virgil, Duggan, and Slaughter. The majority of those guys are gone, except for the Mountie. And, Virgil was still there doing jobs. Macho Man Flair, and then, Rick Martel, being on that card. And he was good. The point is, without me having to run through the whole thing, a lot of these guys were just like, because that was the old guard. And now you have these newer guys coming in, and they really didn't come in and, like, push the old guard out. The old guard just kind of just walked out the door. Like, they weren't really established. I mean, Brett was established.
Yeah. But Shawn was getting there.
Undertaker's problem was they kept giving him shit.
But you have a roster here. A lot of these matches that we'll get to, they did have a lot of less than stellar people too. But you had fucking Yoko was the man. You had Bret Owen. You had
Yoko could work. Bret could work.
Razor.
Owen could work. Razor could work. Shawn could work. Bam Bam no work. Bam Bam would just like to treat people like shit sometimes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Ray Apollo wasn't necessarily great. Luna and Dink could hold their own. Crush could work when he wanted to. Alondra Blaze, was a decent worker. Lalani Kai was a decent worker. Mabel and Moe, the Quebecers could work. Luger could work with the right guy. If you would have had Earthquake and Adam Bomb in there for, a few minutes, they could have had a passable match.
Let's stay on this one for right now, though. Owen and Brett, what'd you think?
I think it's one of the greatest openers in WrestleMania. I think the only match that can come close to beating that, there's two. 21 with Randy.
No. Oh, you're talking about...
Let me make my point first, and you can argue with me. All right. We'll pretend that this is an episode of Undisputed. Let's skip finish his point in this game. But there's two matches I think that were that could possibly be better than this one as far as, like, openers in WrestleMania. 21 with Ray and Eddie, and then the match at 30 between Daniel Bryan and Triple H. Those are the only two that I think could possibly be better than this one.
Didn't 19 start with Jericho Michaels?
No. Started with Matt Hardy and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, I mean, this was great. And I love that Owen won.
Yeah.
And the whole, just the dichotomy behind the I beat you, Brett, you know, like, no matter what, and spoiler alert, I mean, you've had 20-something years to watch this show, so if you haven't seen it yet, I don't know what to tell you, but Bret Hart wins the title at the end, obviously. But even Owen coming out during that, and it's like, this was probably the biggest storyline of the show, right? Even though
yeah.
it's just the opening match.
Yeah. Well, and they had this match, and Bret opened the show because they knew he was closing the show.
It was still a good idea, though. Got the crowd hot.
Yeah. I mean, and you think, you know, Bret had like 2.5 hours or like at least 2.5 hours.
2 hours.
To, you know, to prepare for Yokozuna. Yokozuna had about, you know, 20 minutes to prepare for Bret. Because he had to wrestle Luger first. And then, you know, there was a 35-second match in between and then an 18-minute match in between.
Yeah.
Supposed to be only 13 minutes, but they gave Bret the, you know, the time to recover or whatever, because that was going to be the story, is whether or not, you know, he could show his face again, because he got beat by his older by his younger brother. Owen proved he was a better man that night.
Yeah. And it was
clear. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Victory, which
yeah.
is important.
So here's a side note question, because this is something that really bothers me after this. Knowing that Bret won the title, do you think they should have at least giving Owen a championship material? He had matches against Bret Hart, but never won it. Would you have put in the title on Owen Hart, knowing that he did beat Bret at WrestleMania? Straight up.
That is, that's a loaded question. Because here's the thing. I don't know if Owen could have drawn as champion.
Bret didn't draw. That's known for, I mean, no offense to Bret, but I said it at the beginning of the show. He's one of the top two worst drawing champions of all time. The other would be Diesel. I guess you could put all the guys now because Drew McIntyre and Roman, I mean, business is terrible, but.
That's just because nobody gives a shit about wrestling anymore.
Yeah. But for a period there, Bret Hart wasn't drawn much himself.
Yeah.
Always.
I'll tell you, Shuf.
Go ahead, Glennon.
Good. No, well, I also say, to tell you the truth, I feel in my eyes, I think they should allow Owen, knowing the hot streak that was, I would have put the title on Owen Hart. Because I think after when Bret Hart lost,
like who's a compelling babyface to go against Owen?
The number two you would have to stay would have been Razor.
Yeah, because Randy's done after this.
I mean Luger. I mean he was basically dead in the water.
Luger and Owen wouldn't be good anyway. With Luger in a babyface role,
has that ever happened? One on one? I know they've met in tags.
I don't know.
I
think I'm not. No,
he ain't doing WCW. I do think Owen should have got a world title eventually. I don't know if he was ready here.
Well, here's the thing. You know, when we talk about guys he could have worked on. Look at the baby faces on the roster at this time. Bret, Luger, and you know, we just said Luger wouldn't be able to. You know, wouldn't have been good. Undertaker.
Well,
didn't
you also had Kurt. You also had Kurt Hain, Mr. Perfect.
Well, they were bringing him back, and they had him turn heel. You could have had, like, Owen work a program with, it would have either had to have been Bret, Razor, or maybe Tatanka. And you throw Waltman in there because Waltman and Owen had really good matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you should give him like a long title run like Bret or like Bret Hart ever had. But to just to have a title run, this is a make it think, because the match he had going forward, I think the steel cage match, I think, at what, SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Was it? That was amazing. I mean, that was good. I figured, oh we should have won that. I mean, building up to it, Owen played an excellent heel to the point that I think he could, that WrestleMania match would have propelled him, and I think would have drawn in a better number, having Washington Owens champion and Brad Chase's younger brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I think he should have had a title shot.
I would have loved to see it. But what are we going to give this match rating-wise? I'll start with you, Quetta. 1 out of 10.
I'm going to give it 8.5.
Okay. Eric?
I'll give it a 9.
Doug?
9.
Stevie?
I'll give it a 9.
I'm going to go 9 as well. This was a stellar match. Now, moving on to the next match, which I don't know if it's stellar, but it's certainly sort of, we got a mixed tag team match. Bam Bam Bigelow and Luna Vachon versus Doink the Clown and Doug, I mean Dink.
You almost called him Doug again.
You and Dink.
Doug the Clown?
Wow. Dink could be, Dink, well actually no, he probably can't be my son because this was, I was only 8 at this time. But Dink and I could probably could be related.
Dink was the best worker on this card. No, but that little bastard can go, though. For a midget wrestler, and I know midget wrestling was a big thing back in the day, but he was taking bumps really well, and he was doing the moves.
Yeah.
You know, this iteration of Doink the Clown, I don't like, because I don't like the ha-ha funny Doink the Clown. I like the Matt Bourne evil clown.
Yeah.
Because that's the good one.
Yeah.
But Luna Vachon's always entertaining, and she's one of the women that can actually wrestle. She's better than both the women in the women's title match, in my eyes, to be honest. That's a hot take.
You're not wrong.
But I love Bam Bam, one of the best big guys, most underrated big guys in wrestling. But, I mean, but
definitely.
For this one, it's just kind of a comedy match. Bam Bam got the win. And the shit at the end was kind of stupid to me, too, where when – they were. It felt like they were just falling all over each other at the end. Like, it kind of fell apart. Yeah. So, I wasn't a huge fan. What are your thoughts on this one, Doug?
It was basically the end of feud that had been going on since the fall before. And, I mean, you can't really have Bam Bam and Luna lose here. Because there was still a lot of steam left in Bam Bam Bigelow. Yeah. Doink, not so much. So I do think the right person, the right people went over here.
It could have happened in a little more dominant fashion, though.
Yeah.
Stevie, what was your thoughts on this one?
You know what? After looking at the match, it would have probably been okay if it was just Bam Bam versus Doink and not having a mixed tag match. Because the spots in the, I mean, the Luna and Dink spots weren't that bad though during the match either. So that's just my opinion.
No, I feel you. I agree with that. Eric, what did you think of this one?
I mean, it was over before I even blinked, but it was a comedy match, so it was okay. I thought it was an...
Quintus, what did you think of this one?
It wasn't my favorite. It didn't really hold my interest into it whatsoever. I thought it was just like a bathroom break in my match, but it just wasn't interesting to me. I didn't really enjoy it. It was just out of place, put it that way.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. It was just there. Ratings, Doug?
I give it a 3.
Eric?
Give it a 2.
Stevie?
I would probably give it a 4.
Ruth?
I'm going to give it a 1.
All right. I think I'm going to go 3, 2.
You couldn't go 5 because so we
it wasn't that fucking good. I can't give it a 5. I mean, it's like a 3 level. It was okay. It was decent filler. It doesn't really belong on a WrestleMania for me.
Well, a lot of matches back in like WrestleMania
yeah.
didn't belong on WrestleMania. Fucking
Well, I want to say this. A lot of the matches they had on this card, it wasn't that interesting. I mean, it was only 4 matches they had on this card worth that made me want to watch the whole pay-per-view.
I agree.
I mean, yeah, there is a lot of filler here.
Yeah, well, that's the way WrestleManias were back then. A lot of these WrestleManias were just 2-3 match cards. Yeah.
Let's move on. To me, one of the more underwhelming matches in WrestleMania. Randy Savage's last scheduled televised wrestling match for WWE, right?
Yeah. What a way for him to go on.
Macho Man versus Crush with Mr. Fuji. Crush is on this heel run. He was supposed to tear down the place, be a big star. What'd you think of this one?
First of all, it's false count anywhere.
Yeah. Explain the rules for the people, because this isn't a false count anywhere match that we know.
All right, so in this false count anywhere match, when you pin your opponent has 60 seconds to get back to the ring.
It's an interesting concept.
Yeah, well, it's stupid. So, I hate this
works.
Because this was not a typical Macho Man match.
No.
So, and for it being his last match, I think from what I've heard, he did not want to go over here.
Oh, wow.
I think
really?
He was all for the Crush push. And
yeah.
He wanted to go out.
Well, because him and Crush were buddies.
Yeah, and well, you got to.
Well, Crush had 2 people that backed him around this time.
Yeah.
Because 2 people were really good friends with him.
Yeah.
Macho Man being one, Undertaker being the other.
Yeah.
And Undertaker was gone, but Macho Man had kind of fallen out of favor because Macho Man didn't want to just be stuck doing commentary.
Yeah. And he also came from Old Guard to where when you leave the business, you make someone else look good.
Right. And this was going to be his last match. Well, I don't know if they thought it was going to be his last match. I think after what he pulled later on in the night backstage, I think that's what made Vince decide that was going to be his last match.
Yeah, I mean, and this was like, It just cried of mediocrity.
It fucking sucked.
Like, it did nothing for Crush. It really did nothing for Randy.
It wasn't supposed to do anything for Randy. This was supposed to make Crush into a big star.
But he lost.
Right, which he should not have done. Randy should have lost this one. This was Crush's 3rd WrestleMania match, and he sucked in all 3 of them. Fucking WrestleMania 7, he's teaming up with Smash as part of Demolition, and they lose to Tenryu and Kitao. Tenryu, who is a great, great Japanese wrestler. Kitao, who a few weeks later, halfway through a match with Earthquake, decided he didn't want to sell anymore. So Earthquake decided, fuck this, and started beating the shit out of him. WrestleMania 9, he loses to Doink, which I understand. It was the evil Doink, so I'm okay with that. Even though this was supposed to be the big payoff match. But this one here, this one just bothered me.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan.
More than him losing to a guy named Ken Powell.
Oh.
What do you think of this one?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was okay for what it was. I mean, as I said, the concept of the false count anyway, I was confused at first, but then I realized this from 94, so. But it was okay. The wrong guy won. So.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part. Oh, by the way, a little bit more about Katow. If you listen to Bobby Heenan, Katow's first name was Fred.
Oh.
Fred Katow?
Yeah. Bobby's just like, his name's Fred Katow? And Gorilla's just like, stop.
Glynis, do you have any big opinions on this one?
I mean, I enjoyed it. It's one of those, I liked actually the count out. That's what kept my interest of the match, knowing you had 60 seconds to get back in. I haven't seen it in a while, so watching it, you know, it was a while, but I did enjoy it, like the after, the rivalry of it, and then like the Mr. Fuji spot. That was one of my favorites, getting a powder thrown back into his eyes, and yeah.
That ending was clever.
Yeah.
All right, what are we going to rate this? Stevie, what was your opinion on this match, and what's your rating for it?
On paper, it sounded like a good idea for a match and execution. The concept was flawed a bit. But they worked hard, though. The crowd loved Savage at the time, and I liked the finish because it was unique. So I'm probably going to have to rate this a 7.
All right, Dougie?
Yes. By the way, Fred Katow is in the name I'm going to use for the news segment next week. I give it a 5.
I'll give it a 7.
Eric?
I'll give it a 6.
All right. I'm going to go 4 because I didn't like this one. So moving on to the women's match before women's wrestling was as huge as it is today.
Yeah.
We have a 3-minute and 20-second bout between Alundra Blaze, also known as Medusa, Hall of Famer, defeating Leilani Kai, who is... Honestly, this is just another fabulous Moolah in my head.
She was trained by Moolah.
Oh, because she wrestled just like her. She even looked like her a little bit.
Yeah. That was the thing. She trained her. By the way, Leilani Kai was the defending women's champion at WrestleMania 1.
Was she?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Moolah was in her corner. So,
and what did Vince say? Vince said she was at another WrestleMania, right? He said something like that. He's just like, I believe she was at WrestleMania 1.
You own a company, you fucking moron. I just be getting prepared to get sodomized with fucking shit, with fucking shivs in prison in a few months from then. Doesn't mean you should forget about the history of your fucking company.
This one was kind of short and not much to it, so I'll just get everyone's ratings and quick opinions. Clint, what do you got?
I'll give it a 5. Not that it wasn't, like you said, women's wrestling wasn't a big deal, so it was hard to even get into in my eyes at the time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Alundra could work, but
it really wasn't that special.
I'd have to give it like a 4.
I'll give it a 3.
Eric?
I'll give it a 3.
Stevie?
I'll give it a 3.
All right. So let's move on to another tag team match for the WWF Tag Team Championships. Men on a Mission. Our doppelgangers, Doug.
I swear to God, that's you, me, and Eric.
Accompanied with Oscar, the hip-hop duo, but on a mission. These guys are hilarious. Honestly, I have a soft spot for them. They beat the Quebecers by count out. The Quebecers, obviously, I'm not going to be able to say Jack.
Jock,
okay.
Jockass.
Jock. Is Jock the Mountie? Or is it the other one? Okay, so we know Jock is the Mountie, and obviously Pierre's doing fucking great right now, PCO.
Yeah.
He's still wrestling. So you got them. And in their corner, interestingly enough, Johnny Polo, also known as Raven. Eventually.
Yeah. Fantastic choice of...
Yeah.
By the way, I mean, to be honest with you, I could throw up on that thing and make it look better.
I mean, he was an okay, annoying manager, though.
I really feel like he was trying to be another Jimmy Hart.
Yeah. Maybe a more intelligent Jimmy Hart.
Because, like, just the fact that he kept... I mean, like, he would not leave that referee. I was actually waiting for him to give that referee a hand job. Like, that's the only thing he didn't fucking do. But no, Men on a Mission, here's the funny thing. Had the Hasbro line kept going, you know, it would end, you know, late 94, early 95.
Yeah.
Mabel and Mo were supposed to get their own Hasbros. They were supposed to be part of Series 12.
What did you think of this match, Doug?
That sucks.
I mean, the one good thing I'll say about this, to be honest, this is one of the best I've seen Mabel look.
Yeah.
Big Daddy V.
Mo couldn't work. That was the issue.
Was it? I thought Mo was okay.
Yeah, I didn't like his work.
I like their finish move, how he comes off the top on Mabel's shoulder. That was cool. And then Mabel flopped.
That was pretty cool.
I don't know the name of it. I don't mind that finish. And Mabel was, at this point, he was actually pretty limber and could move a little bit.
Yeah. And here's the funny thing. I love the entrance. I could not understand a fucking word that came out of Oscar's mouth.
Well, I heard whoop, whoop. The crowd comes in. There it is.
Yeah. I could not understand a fucking word that came out of his mouth, but still, I was just kind of dancing along to the music. It was entertaining.
yeah, I thought they were cool.
Oh.
I mean, kind of an odd pairing. Was there a big feud behind this, or the Quebecers and Men on a
Mission? I think they just wanted the tag titles on the line at WrestleMania, and Rick and Scott Steiner were on.
That's
so it basically left, and for some reason, they were going to put the smoking guns in the tent. Razor and Shawn made sure it didn't happen. So it basically left one other team, and that was Mabel and Mo, unless they came to Bushwick, unless they put Mabel and Mo in the dark match, Bushwhackers on.
Yeah. And another a weird part about this is it's one of those where they get DQ'd, but they still take the belts. And Johnny Polo was like, give us the belts, but they wouldn't give it to him.
Now, what's actually funny is that on the WrestleMania Revenge Tour, like 10 days later, Mabel and Mo won the titles. Yeah. They won them at a house show. The problem is they lost them like 3 days later. Because that was back around the time where it's one of those anything can happen at a house show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now there's how you can you guys want to give ratings or
I give it a 4.
Eric, what do you think?
I'd give it a 3. I think the best spot was when they lifted Mabel.
Yeah, the suplex. I like that too.
Yeah.
All right. Quintus?
I want to give it a 3.
All right. Stevie?
I would probably rate it a 3.
Yeah, I'm going 3-2. This is okay, but it wasn't really anything special. Now, our first championship match. Yokozuna, our defending world heavyweight champion, going against Lex Luthor. He wins by...
Luger.
Did I say Luthor again?
Yeah.
Sorry, we watched Justice League yesterday. Lex Luger by disqualification. It went about 15 minutes. Mr. Perfect's a special guest referee. I'm going to start with you on this, Doug. Why did Lex connect?
I wanted him to. Because I don't think he would. I mean, here's the thing. As a babyface, sometimes he could connect. But made in the USA, Luger's never really been one to, like, you know, be patriotic and all that.
Yeah.
It didn't work. They were trying to get a new Hogan, and it just, unfortunately, it just wasn't happening. The thing here was,
too hard.
This was supposed to lead to a feud between the two. Yeah. But Perfect had a lot of health problems at this time, and he also, unfortunately, had a lot of personal problems as well. He was actually supposed to be at that 93 Survivor Series, but he showed up to the building drunk. So they told him to go home. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was supposed to be on Razor's team. He showed up. He was completely drunk. And they said, get out of here. Like, go. They're like, blow, get out of here. Because, you know, like, you have a problem. Get the fuck out. And then here, they were supposed to have a feud afterwards, but Perfect had a back injury, and plus he was also negotiating to go to WCW.
This was around the time.
Well, when he tried to negotiate to go, but when, because the rumor has it is that he was supposed to have the run against Flair, not Hogan.
Yeah. Was he?
That's what they're saying. They're saying that he was supposed to work against Flair at that June Clash. You know, the one where it was Sting and Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was going to work. And then they were going to have a rematch or whatever. At the, like, again, I don't know how true any of this is. But... that was the rumor, that he was supposed to have the run with Flair, not Hogan, which I find to be bullshit, because, like, Bischoff had been planning that whole fucking thing since, like, February.
Yeah. So it was Rick. So did Rick.
Yeah. Well, and so did, like, five other people that take credit for calling Hogan on the phone.
Yeah, but I've actually seen other people give Flair credit for bringing Hogan in.
Bischoff, oh, no, I actually have no doubt that it was Flair.
Yeah. That's what I actually believe.
I mean, I have no doubt that it was Flair, even though I don't like Flair, and I would rather believe one of the other people over Flair, because
yeah.
I like this other person better.
Yeah.
But I really don't see Flair lying about that.
No. There's no reason he would.
I mean, he probably doesn't remember it now. Oh, fuck.
Stevie, what was your thoughts on this match?
I think the match was like, I think it was a good match. You could tell Yoko wanted to take it easy because he was working twice that night. And that wasn't easy to do. So I think it was good.
I think it's funny that they wanted Yoko to go to fat camp, and he's like, no, fuck you. So they're like, all right, you got to wrestle twice in 1 hour.
Yeah, they didn't even give him time. I mean, they thought they were going to give him enough time with they wanted to give him enough time to rest. That's why they were going to have this match and then the thing with Earthquake and Atom Bomb, then the ladder match,
I'll get it for you.
All right, thanks. Upstairs in the bathroom. And then the 10-man, and then the other deal between Luger, between Yoko and Brett. But the issue was, is that the other match had to be cut. So instead of actually having this match go on fourth, which they not fourth but fifth, like they should have, you know, they thought they timed it out right to where they would give Yoko a rest. Didn't happen. But yeah, basically, it's almost like he was being punished, yeah.
But,
so.
These two really never had good matches together, though. Lex Luger and Yokozuna.
Well, wasn't like Luger like the second ever to pick up body slam after Yokozuna or something like that?
Yeah, he body slammed him the 4th of July the year before.
Yeah, I like that, though. I thought that was cool. I liked the power slam. That was the only part that I did think was cool. That was the only time I was really rooting for Lex during this whole thing, to be honest. Because no one else could body slam Yoko.
No.
But, no.
Not even
I mean,
Hogan, right?
No. He sent Hogan packing, I'm pretty sure. Wasn't it, Clint? It was Yoko that wrote him off storyline-wise, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Doug, it was Yokozuna that took Hogan out, right? Storyline?
Yeah. Yeah, after the photographer shot a fireball in his eyes.
Yeah.
The photographer.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, Harvey Whippleman.
Because they were gonna make a deal because they were still trying to get Hogan to stay.
Yeah.
So they were trying to make a deal to where Whippleman was gonna be revealed as the cameraman. And I think they were trying to get something between Hogan and Giant Gonzalez going.
Holy shit. But they didn't do that. All right, let's give ratings for this match. What do you got, Doug?
I would give it a 6. I it wasn't that bad.
No. Credit?
I'll give it a 5.
Stevie?
I'll give it a 5.
Eric?
6.5.
I'm going to agree with Eric and say a 6.5 because I actually liked this one. It wasn't as bad. The main event's better, but I didn't mind this. Now, let's just briefly go over this because Earthquake and Adam Bomb was 35 seconds. Really didn't need to happen. Was there much of a storyline going into it, Doug?
No. Here's the thing. Earthquake was making a big return.
Babyface here, right?
Yeah. And his original opponent that was announced, even though they knew he wasn't going to be back, was Ludwig Borga.
Yeah.
But Borga had no plans on coming back because he couldn't because he had the fucking steel plates in his ankle.
Yeah.
Like, there was no way he could come back. So Johnny Poe was like, oh, Adam Bomb's going to take the match or whatever. And the storyline was
Whippleman.
Yeah. Whippleman comes out and insults Howard Finkel, who had just joined the Hair Club for Men. And, Finkel shoves him back, so then Anna Bomb comes out to attack Fink. Earthquake comes out, beats the shit out of Bomb, wins the match. There was really nothing towards it. I mean, if they were going to cut anything, they could have cut this, but because Howard was involved.
Yeah, let's just give a quick rating to it.
The segment as a whole, I'd probably give a 5.
I give it a 4.
Eric?
I give it a 3.
Stevie?
I'll give it a 3.
I'm going to have to say a 3, too. This was like, there's nothing to really judge here.
Right.
So, let's go past it. Now, one of the greatest matches in WrestleMania history. Obviously, you have a lot of commentary, Doug. I'm going to toss it to some other people first here, the good things. Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels' first ever ladder match.
Televised.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Brett and Shawn did a Coliseum one to try it out, right?
Yeah, that was done at a TV taping.
Yeah.
It was basically, real quick, it was Brett was trying to get Vince to agree to a ladder, to let him do a ladder match at SummerSlam 92. So he gave Vince the concept. Vince is just like, okay, go out there and show it to me. He's like, what, now? He goes, well, not right now. I mean, one, wait for people to get in the building. And two, you're just at the taping tonight, just do it. Just go out there and just show me what the fuck to do. What are you doing this thing? So he goes, all right, well, who do you want me to do it with? He goes, pick anybody. He goes, you want to drop the title to Shawn in a ladder match? Pick Shawn. So he goes, finds Shawn, and says, hey, we're going to go out and do a ladder match. Shawn's like, eh? I need to show Vince concepts so you and I can do a ladder match at SummerSlam. Okay. So they go out, do the match. Really, it was just a demo.
Yeah.
But Vince didn't go with it anyway. So, and Brett actually harbored resentment over this match actually happening. He feels like he should have been part of the first televised ladder match.
Well, yeah, because it's certain those matches started in Calgary, and it was his idea to bring it here.
Yeah.
So he did slide it. Now, for what we got from this match, Clintus, what'd you think of this one? Is this classic?
Yeah, well, I think it was a classic. Yeah, I think it was a good showcase of Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels. I think one of the best matches I would have seen before two undercards because of the ladder match.
Oh yeah, 100%. What do you think of this one?
Oh. I thought this was a great match. Classic. The SummerSlam one was pretty good, too.
What did Stevie start sounding like Eric?
Oh, were you talking to me?
Oh.
Well, the phone's breaking up. It's hard for me to hear.
But oh, you're good.
For me, all right, well, for me personally, this match was a huge deal because it was the moment where Shawn Michaels became my favorite wrestler, and he ended up becoming my favorite wrestler ever. His athleticism wowed me during the match, so I really liked it.
Oh, that's nice.
Eric's gonna leave me now for Stevie. Stevie just melted Eric's heart.
Yeah. Well, how can you talk bad about the ladder match? I thought it was great, you know?
Exactly.
He planned on it. But first, Eric, what'd you think?
I thought it was an absolute classic. Probably top three ladder match of all time. Top 10 WrestleMania matches of all time. I have to look back and watch the SummerSlam one, but I think this one's probably a little better.
Yeah, I think this one is. The moment with it, him coming off the ladder in the corner, you know, in the just a bunch of the spots, you still see video packages with that to this day. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, but don't forget, this is also unifying the Intercontinental Championships, too.
Right, because they both had a belt.
Yeah.
Just
set the standard for a lot of matches to come.
This was a great match. However, they fucked 10 people out of a WrestleMania payday. During this match,
yeah,
the referee told the guys, all right, let's go home. Dawn and Razor said no. They kept bumping. There was supposed to be a 10-man tag. It was supposed to be IRS, the Head Strangers, Jeff Jarrett, and Rick the Model Martel versus the Smoking Guns, Tatanka, Sparky Plug, and the 1-2-3 Kid. And this match ran too long. So therefore, they couldn't get the match off.
Which has happened before and will happen again.
This was actually, well, yeah, this, it's not the first time that it happened here because it actually happened to Davey Boy at WrestleMania 8. And it was actually,
okay,
believe it or not, it was actually Savage and Flair that fucked him. Because they went too long in their match and they actually had the, no, was it them? It was either them or something happened with Tatanka and Martel and they went too long. One of the, either the WWF title match or Tatanka's match went too long. They had to cut into the WWF tag team title match. And instead of only having Davey Boy and Berserker go like 90 seconds, they just sent Owen Hart and Skinner out there and said, fuck you guys, go. Owen went in like 90 seconds. But they didn't want to do that to Skinner. They didn't give a shit. So anyway, so the referee kept saying, come on, guys, we got to go. We got to get out of here. There's another match we're supposed to have. They didn't care. Because Shawn Michaels around this time was an absolute piece of shit. Okay? It, you know, backstage. He didn't give a fuck about anybody else but himself. Razor Ramon was no better. Yes, this was a great match. However, and you're preventing other people from making money on this day just because you want an extra fucking 5 minutes. You should have talked to Vince and said, hey, you know, can we cut one of the other matches short for 5 minutes? Not, hey, can we fuck over 10 other guys that are supposed to, work? It was just, to me, it was disappointing and disgraceful on both their parts.
Right.
And Macho Man let them have it. See, because everybody else, you know, they went back there. They were so proud of the match. They went back there expecting everybody to put their mouths on their cocks. Basically, just about ripped their cocks off. And said, what the fuck is wrong with you two? You do realize that other matches were supposed to go on. And now it can't go on because you two were fucking selfish, and I know you're not going to be ashamed of yourselves, but you should be. Like, you just screwed over 10 people, all because you wanted an extra 5 fucking minutes. So I actually think that that's what actually caused this to be Randy Savage's last televised match. I don't think it had anything to do with Vince wanting them on commentary. I think it was just more, you know, Shawn and Razor, after being embarrassed, because Randy did it in front of a bunch of fucking people, including the 10 guys that were supposed to go out for the match. Because they were actually all still hoping that they could go out there, that they were going to do something to kind of, you know, like cut something.
A quick rest. A quick roll off something stupid.
Yeah, they were hoping that they could do something, but Vince is just like, no, there's no. Or, well, not Vince. I think it was actually Bruce Pritchard calling the shots. It was either Bruce or Gorilla that basically just said, no, we don't have time. Or Kevin Donner, whoever the fuck. But Randy did it in front of a bunch of fucking people. So I'm sure that Shawn and Razor both went to Vince and say, if you ever want our cocks in your mouth, you got to punish it.
Okay. All right, devil's advocate time, which this isn't going to be fun. This match is a piece of art.
Yeah.
It's a masterpiece. I love Rick Martel. No offense to the Smoking Guns, I love Billy. Head Shrinkers, great Samoan wrestlers. Turkey Plug, obviously, Bob Holly. Good workers in that match. That match would not have gone down as anything. It wouldn't have been a WrestleMania classic.
Yes. I'm not saying it would have been a WrestleMania classic. What I'm saying is that they weren't even allowed to go out there and showcase anything because two guys were more selfish and thinking about themselves through this piece of art.
But
what they basically did, this piece of art, was basically they made a mural with their own feces and put it in the face of 10 guys.
Yeah, but those 10 guys... This is a showcase of the Immortals. This isn't a participation award. Is, I mean, a lot of the guys, they'll do, man, they try to get everyone out there. That isn't always the best way to operate. Sometimes the creme de la creme makes the WrestleMania card and the mid-card to undercard guys don't. Are you telling me that we should have took away the iconic pose of Razor on the ladder with the two belts doing the thing?
No, but you what you do is you shorten
something else.
You shorten Randy, or take the fucking women's title match out.
I understand how you feel because in principle, 10 guys didn't get paid. 10 guys were supposed to be on the show, did not get to be on the show, and that sucks. As a fan that watches the show and wants the shows to be good, I'm not mad at it. Because that match, probably we would have all gave it a 4 stars. And it would have been another mediocre WrestleMania match instead of what I'm about to give 10 stars. So as a fan, I'm not mad at it. And on principle, yes. And being a backstage guy and a heavy influence, Randy Savage had every right to chew them a new ass. But as a fan,
they should have fucking taken one of their heads and put it right through a fucking.
It did not hurt the show whatsoever. That's the one thing I'll say. It's not like the show suffered.
It didn't hurt the show, and I'm not saying it hurt the show. What I'm saying is that it was selfish on their part. Now, yes, a lot of people are going to say, "Well, you know what? It worked out for the best because it's one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time."
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that. You took money out of somebody's pocket.
All
right.
And first of all, these two guys are called selfless a day of their life. If you look up selfish addiction, I think you'll see a picture of Razor and Shaw. No offense, but at Christmas time, they weren't really known for being the most generous, nice guys that cared about everybody except for themselves. They're known as pretty much the opposite.
I mean, there's even a story going around this time on a European tour that. You know, Shawn Michaels tore up Bob Holly's food card. Because Bob Holly filled out a food card, supposed to get something to eat. Dinner came around, he never got his food. And he asked, he goes, well, what happened to my food card? And they're like, well, we don't have it. And then somebody said, oh, Shawn ripped it up. And Shawn Michaels has admitted about doing this.
Did he?
He admitted, he's just like, look, we screwed guys out of it. He goes, we were thinking about ourselves, and we wanted to make this match great. Yes, we screwed over some guys. I feel bad about it now because I took money out of their pockets. But back then, I just wanted to be – I only cared about myself. So they – Scott Hall, I think, still doesn't do anything wrong. Shawn at least admitted that he screwed some guys.
Back then he was screwing guys every night, so he didn't really give a shit. At the end of the day, we got what we got, and we didn't get to.
I'm not saying the Tan Man would have been good. I'm just saying that
based on principle, I understand what you're saying. I get it. Fucked up. But for
and
the show,
both of you guys made strong points. Let's put it that way. You guys both made strong, compelling points.
Well, I completely agree with your point, Doug. I completely agree with.
I agree with your point too. Is the fact that this was an iconic match. I just also think that, like, again, I don't agree with them. You know, taking it upon themselves to be like, you know what. Let's screw these guys out of money.
Understand. Let's move on and let's give this match a rating. Let's try to rate it based on the match. What would you give this match as a match? What would you give this rating?
9.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a 10.
I'm going 10 as well. Stevie?
I'll give it a 10.
You're all fired.
It was a great match, man. I don't know what to tell you. It was like art. I mean, why these guys, and you can tell they were the best friends. So yeah. Just the amount of chemistry these two have together is nuts. And you got Diesel in the corner.
Well, got ejected from ringside.
How much? I bet you that Diesel was probably, you know, watching the match in Gorilla while the other guys were there waiting to come out. And Diesel, you know, thinking in his head, he's like, should I tell these guys that they're going to get fucked over because there's no way Razor and Sean are gonna end anytime soon? Or should I just be... And then, of course, Diesel decided to be a dick.
All
right, main event time.
Wonder why I don't like him.
That sucks anyway.
Yeah, well, and to be honest with you, Eric, you like a lot of assholes. So yeah,
I mean, you're one of his best friends.
Yeah.
Doug's not an asshole.
Yeah, and Nathan Lane's not gay.
All right, the
main
event.
I'm trying to be nice.
Main event here is Bret Hart versus Yokozuna. Obviously, we saw two guys wrestle already. Yokozuna's got Fuji and Doug's dad in the corner, Jim Cornette.
I wonder how Cornette felt about Rick.
He probably wasn't happy.
Poor Jimmy.
What'd you think of this match, Clint? I want to start with you.
All right. I thought it was a great match. Let's put it that way. Knowing that Bret already lost to this, in the beginning of the match makes you wonder. It's like, well, I think Yokozuna might pull a big time sweep here and take out two Rumble winners in one night. Even though I was rooting for Lex to win the title at the first time around, I was rooting for Lex. I was hoping that after Yokozuna will find a way to destroy, beat two guys, and then really cement himself as a good champion that he's supposed to be. Because there's no better way you can be said. You can defend your title twice in one night and call yourself a real champion.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Eric, what was your thought?
I thought it was a good main event at the end of the show. I thought the right guy won. Bret Hart, at the end of the show, he went to babyface too in the show. I thought it was a solid match.
Absolutely. Stevie?
I liked it. I mean, I thought it was a great match. Putting Bret over that was good for the company, so I thought it was a good match.
Doug?
I thought it was a decent match. It didn't go too long. John and Razor should have taken pointers. I mean, I thought it was a decent match, and I thought Roddy Piper did a good job as referee.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew Piper was going to be fair and impartial, although Yokozuna didn't think so, because after the match, when Piper made a three-count, Piper left the ring, and Yokozuna went running after him like Piper was an ice cream truck. But, I mean, you know, Yoko, he lost his balance on the rope, which, to be honest, had you drop some pounds, you know, drop some LBs, you don't have to worry about losing your balance. Yeah, fat idiot. I mean, all he had to do was take at least, like, two shits during the day.
All right.
He could have lost some LBs.
Yeah, this match was pretty good. I thought Bret and Yoko had good chemistry.
He did.
And it was nice that he got to avenge the loss from the year before.
Yeah.
Without Hogan coming and stealing this limelight. So,
yep.
What's your ratings for this? What do you got?
Now, during this match that Piper decked Jim Cornette.
Yes, that was my favorite part of the match.
Oh, my God.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And Cornette always sold the right hand pretty good, too. Yeah. He's got his stars in the back of his head, his tongue hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah.
I would give this a 7.
I think I agree. I'm going to go 7.5, though. Eric?
I'm going to go 7. I thought it was the third best match on the card.
7?
I'll give it a 9.
Did we lose him?
No, all here.
Right. Stevie?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'll give it a 7. I'll give it a 7.
All righty. It was a great match. Good pay-per-view. Now that we're getting towards the end here, SmackDown just came on, so
we've already lost all our viewers.
Yeah, our beloved viewers are going to be tuned into that, so... Let's hit some final thoughts and then a rating, and then we'll get out of here. Do a quick plug and go home.
Okay.
Yeah, you started.
It was a good 10th anniversary show. obviously, some ups and some downs. But I overall actually thought it was a decent show. I would give it, now are we going 1 through 5 or 1 through 10? Overall, I would say that this was about a 7 show.
All right. Women?
I'm going to give it a 7.5. I mean, you had the 4 great matches, good matches to say. The Randy Savage, the 2 title matches, the ladder match. And then all, actually 5. And then you had Bret and Owen. So I want to give it a 7.5.
Eric?
I'm going to give it a 7, too. I thought it was a solid card. It was basically like a 4-5 match card, if you count Randy Savage match.
Absolutely. Stevie?
I thought the 4 matches were solid, so I'd probably give it a 7.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to have to give it a 7 as well. I thought top to bottom might not have been the greatest show of all time, but like you guys said, those 4 matches really took it home for me, and I thought it was a solid quality card. So, all right, guys, that was WrestleMania 10. What are we doing next week?
The last episode. Well, here's the thing. For everybody that still has the network at this point, where you can actually still watch this, the last episode of WCW Monday Nitro is what we're doing next week.
I watched it before 27.
Huh?
I'll watch it before Monday.
Yeah, mine's up on the 3rd, so. April 3rd. I should still be able to watch it.
Yeah, I know they're slowly adding things every day. We'll see.
I'm probably gonna wait a few days before I sign up for the CAC.
Yeah.
I don't think you can abbreviate that.
all right, guys. Make sure to listen to the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday after NXT and AEW and every Friday after SmackDown.
Make sure to listen to us every Friday at 6:30. Obviously, you're with us here. And settle the ring tomorrow. Big Show Saturday tomorrow.
Wait, Big Show's joining us?
No, not Big Show. Well, I'm there, so maybe. Eric's going to be hosting tomorrow, and it's going to be 3 boys.
It's
going
to be our last show.
It's going to be me, Doug, and Clint all going against each other in a TNA theme settle in the ring. So make sure to tune in for that. 5
people are going to listen.
going to be hilarious. So make sure to tune into that. It's going to be awesome. And Scaredy Cats on Sunday is doing really well. Make sure to check in on that at 3 p.m. And that's about it.
Tell them what you're doing on Sunday.
The Poltergeist remake. And we're going to be talking about that at a
proper
plug. So that's what we're going to be doing on Sunday, and that's pretty much all I got.
Okay.
Anybody else? Are we good to go here?
Nope.
Before somebody has something else to say.
All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. I can't wait to go against Doug and Clinton here, and everybody have a good night.
It's going
to
be a fun.
Yep. What time tomorrow?
Is 6 cool for everybody?
Yeah, 6 is cool.
That should be fine.
All right, Clintus, Eric,
awesome.
And
adios.
We'll see everybody.
All right, later.
All right, see you later.
See you. Bye.